The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
What it means to me to be a Chicago Bear, it's an easy question. It means everything to me.
That means rich tradition, black and blue division, defense, legends, linebackers.
The history of it. I mean, I'm a big history guy, so understanding this was one of the first franchises just kind of blows my mind, honestly, that I was able to be a part of that.
The city, just the nostalgia of playing for a storied franchise. The story franchise of the running back position with guys like Gale Sayers and Walter Payton and being able to follow in those footsteps. So being a Bear means everything.
I mean, what more can you say?
Welcome in to another preview edition of the Under Center podcast brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local Union 281. I'm J.J. Stankovitz, my guest on the pod ahead of the Bears' critical NFC North clash with the Minnesota Vikings is Minneapolis Star Tribune Vikings beat reporter Andrew Kramer, who you've heard on this pod before talking all things Vikings. You can read all of Andrew's work at startribune.com and follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Kramer. He also co-hosts the Access Vikings podcast, which you can download wherever you get your podcast to keep up with one of the Bears' biggest playoff challengers all season long. Andrew, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, JJ, it's good to be on. Thanks for having me.
So, Andrew, here in Chicago, this game Sunday feels sort of like a must-win. I mean, the Bears probably can't afford to lose their first two NFC North games at home and realistically expect to win the division. What's the level of urgency in Minneapolis ahead of this game?
It's pretty similar, only in the sense that it's flipped because the Vikings have played their first two NFC North games on the road, and they lost their first one in Green Bay. So the urgency is kind of the same. It's prove it. It's show it. It's Kirk Cousins. Go out there and win the Vikings a game that they really need in a tough place, which he did not do at all last year in his first season in Minnesota. So I think patience is wearing a little thin here with the Vikings, and especially after they go to Green Bay and they're competing, they're in the game. It looks like they're going to come back from a 21-0 deficit early, and Kirk Cousins throws a fourth quarter interception that loses it for him. So I think it really falls on the quarterback with Minnesota, as it often does, and people are just waiting to see, all right, Kirk, go out there and earn your money and win the Vikings an important game.
In that sense, though, I mean, Kirk Cousins only attempted, 63 passes this year? I mean, they haven't asked him to do a whole lot. How much of it really is on Cousins, and how much of it is, you know, Stefanski, Zimmer, Kubiak, you know, all these guys wanting to just feed Dalvin Cook even against a very good Bears run defense?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. They definitely have pivoted to a run for, I mean, they're running 56% of the time right now. That's not sustainable. Teams just don't do that in today's day and age, and I don't think it's going to be something that they keep up throughout the year. Will it be closer to 45 or 50%? Yeah, it'll still be pretty high, but they're going to have to turn to Kirk at some point, and they did in that Green Bay game. They turned to him at the end in the red zone and said, win us that game, and he wasn't able to do it. The stats are a little skewed for the Vikings in these first three games because it was such a weird start. They've jumped out to 21-0 leads against the Falcons and Raiders, and so Kirk just kind of sat back, and he never threw a fourth-quarter pass in either home game. So it's just it's a weird start you can't take away too much from, because they're going to have to pivot back, especially in Chicago, against a team like you just said. They're not walking in here with visions of, oh, we're going to run for 200 yards. They don't think that's going to happen. Mike Zimmer even said, if we run for 98 yards and we still win the game, that's all that matters. And so to them, they're trying to figure out ways to get around this Bears front because they know they're probably not going to run through it.
What's sort of the sense of, you know, we're recording this podcast Friday morning before the final injury report. I know guard Josh Klein is on it with a concussion. What's the sense of the Vikings' confidence, though, in their offensive line to generate some push against the Bears and be able to at least, you know, maybe even get to that 98-yard mark that you mentioned, given last year I think Dalvin Cook had like 51 or 52 yards in two games against the Bears.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I think even that game at Soldier Field was like 9 carries for 12 yards.
Yeah,
something abysmal. And the Vikings have a lot more confidence in their offensive line, but it's maybe jumped from one of the worst units in the league to, like, you know, below average. It's still not one of the best units in the league, or even maybe average. I think it's still one of the groups that needs to kind of scheme its way around its inefficiencies, or deficiencies, I should say. Their guard play was horrendous last year, and they got rid of both of them in the offseason. And now if Josh Klein can't play, he's got a concussion still in the protocol. It seems unlikely he's going to play. Dakota Dozier, a backup they brought in, is probably even better than their starters last year, just from what we've seen from him. So there's a step up, and especially if Akeem Hicks isn't healthy, that's going to be a big step up for the Vikings, because he gave them so many fits last year. And Garrett Bradbury, their rookie center, he's going through some stuff. He hasn't played great. So this is going to be maybe kind of one of his welcome to the NFL moments early on here in his career. But they've got a lot. They got a lot more confidence now than they did. But it's still going to be a tough haul for them, because what they like to do is they like to run on the outsides. They love to get the edges, get Dalvin Cook out in space. Problem is, the Bears, from what I've read, are the number one edge defending team against the run. If you look up the NFL stats, I think only like opponents have only run like 11. Plays to the edges in terms of run plays against the Bears, and they're allowing less than 1 yard per run. And so it's going to be quite the matchup. We'll have to see what happens.
That being said, Andrew, I mean, is Dalvin Cook better this year? Just like individually, not accounting for the offensive line or for the scheme, but year three, is it a health thing? Is it just he's improved as a player? What sort of has clicked for him?
Yeah, it's health. It really is. I was actually talking to his running backs coach earlier this season. I think it was after his big week one. And he had said, look, even though Dalvin came back in the second half of last ACL injury, he had a hamstring injury they believed was connected to the recovery from the ACL. When he was playing the Bears both of those times. And so now he's looking like nothing's bothering him. The guy's breaking tackles left and right. There was one play against the Raiders. He broke like 5 tackles on a 15-yard run. This guy, if he can stay healthy like this, he could be the NFL's leading rusher. I think we're going to start talking about him in the ranks of Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon, maybe even Ezekiel Elliott if he gets up there and stays healthy. He's got that kind of potential. He's just so electric. So, yes, I think Dalvin Cook is a lot better, not just the offensive line. Which gives them some hope. I just don't think they're going to be able to line up and run straight ahead. I think they're going to have to get really creative and tricky with how they get Dalvin Cook open, because I still just think this Bears defensive front is that good.
With the Vikings receivers, you know, you look at Diggs and Thielen, and they aren't getting the volume that certainly they've been used to recently, but it seems like they're getting more shots at big plays. You know, you look at their average yards per reception, they're way up from last year, but just generally talking to those guys, Andrew, how have they handled a maybe decreased volume but increased explosiveness type role in this offense?
Yeah, it's kumbaya if they're winning. I mean, that's really all that matters. If they're winning, if they're going out there, you know, if it's like the opener where they just dismantle the Falcons and Kirk throws 10 passes and these guys are just blocking all day, they're fine with that. If that leads to a division title and a playoff run, if they're losing and they're still not getting their stuff, that's when we're going to figure out their true commitment to team first and all that. I think these guys are both so good at what they do, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. They're open. They're not the wide receivers who are just throwing their hands up, not open. They're actually open when they're doing that. And that's the frustration, is that Kirk is sometimes not finding that. Even successful plays. There was a 10-yard scramble against the Raiders last week where Kirk has Stephon standing in the middle of the field wide open with his hands out just waiting for him, and Kirk tucks it and runs. That's just a frustrating play, not because that they didn't succeed on that play, but because if you just go about the way the play is operated, Stephon gets his catch, they maybe pick up more than 10 yards, and the offense moves even farther. So it's just little things like that that kind of stand out over these 18, 19 games we've had with Kirk Cousins here in Minnesota. that if that continues and then they start losing, yeah, I could see some relationships getting stressed, because like anybody at work, if you're not doing well, you're going to start bickering and fighting. So we'll see. But right now they're handling it well. They're 2-1. They could be 3-0 had Kirk played better in Green Bay. And so we'll see how it goes from here.
Before we continue with this preview edition of the Under Center podcast, remember, fire sprinklers don't work without water. Get your building's fire pump tested ASAP. Go to sprinklerfitterschicago.org or call 708-597-1800. Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281, protecting Chicagoland for over 100 years.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
Switching over to the defensive side of the ball, Andrew, Danielle Hunter looks awesome this year. I mean, that as a guy who's just kind of consistently got better and better and better, what have you seen out of him? What have people been kind of telling you about his sort of growth and maturation to be at the point where he looks like one of the best edge rushers in the NFL through three games?
He really is. He's starting to get almost the Adrian Peterson lore in terms of his workout regimen. When you talk to guys who work out with him, or guys that just try to keep pace with him in practice, he's got that kind of just freakish athlete, just insane mental drive to always be at the peak physical condition. This is a guy who told me that he had to limit his conditioning in the off season because he literally, his body was just not having even the 1 or 2% body fat. He kept dropping even below that, and it was unhealthy. And so that's where he's at. He's just such an Adonis like freak that when you put it together with the technical points that the Vikings have on a coaching staff, they have one of the best D line coaches in football, in my opinion, and Andre Patterson, that equals immense growth. And this guy's going to be up there. Last year, statistically, he was up there with J.J. Watt in terms of run stops, pass pressures, and all that stuff. So he's already getting up to that echelon. And then the Vikings, thankfully for them, they have a healthy Everson Griffen back on the other side. That means offenses need to start figuring out, okay, which guy are we going to chip? Which guy are we going to give help to? And if it's not Danielle Hunter's side, you better watch out, because this guy's just watching him sometimes. It's like seeing Alien rush the passer. It's pretty crazy.
Never have I ever heard someone say he is too low of a body fat percentage.
Right.
Come on.
He did. He said, like, I could only run a mile. Like, no, you can't. I get unhealthy if I run more a mile at a time because his body fat's already just so low.
Cool. I struggle to run a mile myself. Anthony Harris, too, and speaking of guys who have kind of continually improved, you know, Bears fans will remember him as a guy who picked off Mitch Trubisky twice in that game at Soldier Field last year. This year looks like he's all over the field even more. That safety duo back there has got to be something that Mike Zimmer feels like is a strength of his defense.
It really is. And the thing that stands out about Anthony, Harrison's had a bunch of safeties come through over the years. You remember Sendejo, Blanton, guys like that. Anthony is one of the smarter ones. Not to say those other guys weren't smart, but Anthony's maybe more on the level that Harrison is in terms of the football IQ. And so Mike Zimmer talks about how those two guys like to play games with quarterbacks together, as opposed to maybe in the past, it would just be Harrison trying to toy with the QB. He says, Anthony can see what Harrison's doing and play off of it. And it almost really gives them a nice kind of disguised trickery tandem back there that screws with quarterbacks before the snap. And so that's an interesting level to the Viking defense. And that's kind of helped them quite a bit. And Anthony is just always in the right place at the right time. And it doesn't shock anybody who knew him here, but nationally, he wasn't the known guy, certainly undrafted out of Virginia. And 5 years later, he's become this guy who's really sneaking up on people, sneaking up on quarterbacks. And so that's great for them to have, especially at corner where they've had some injuries. They've been banged up a little bit. Xavier's always good to leave the game for a play or two. They need some short of play on the back end. So that's Anthony Harris has really been a godsend for him.
So inside the Vikings facility, what has sort of been the level of confidence this group has going up against the Bears offense, where, you know, you see what they did in the first two games of the year, very much unimpressive. You know, then Monday night against a bad Washington team playing a little bit better, but how is this defense approaching facing Trubisky and Nagy and these guys who they did face last year, but maybe haven't looked as good through the first couple games this year.
Yeah, I would say the Vikings defense definitely has confidence going against Mitchell Trubisky. Now, Matt Nagy is a play caller that can put Mike Zimmer on edge a little bit. Zimmer's referenced how Nagy might have 500 pages in his playbook, how you can watch five different games and not see the same play from him. So they definitely have the Vikings' respect as an offense. But in terms of Trubisky himself, I feel like the Vikings defense doesn't fear him a ton because they think he's a guy who's kind of limited as a passer, as he's shown at least throughout a couple games this season. And he's a guy that they've at least been able to corral before. Trubisky's averaged, I think, 159 passing yards in four starts against the Vikings in the past 2 years. Obviously, one of those years was with Matt Nagy. So I just don't know if they really fear him as a passer. What they're kind of worried about this week is that he's going to break out with his legs like he hasn't in the previous three games here. I've talked to guys and asked, hey, is he running less? Are they trying to force him to be a passer more? And they say, no, what we're seeing on film is that the plays are still there to run. He's just not running. And against us, we very much expect him to run. And I think that's them kind of touting their coverage, like, hey, receivers aren't going to be open against us. But they are wary of Mitchell's legs and his athleticism. When you look back at the Vikings games where they've really fallen flat against what they fear or what they see are inferior quarterbacks, like Josh Allen last year ran all over them. Trubisky kind of ran all over them a couple games last year too. And that's what they're wary of, is just keeping him in the pocket and then taking him down.
What's sort of been the vibe you've got from Mike Zimmer? You know, you kind of mentioned that Nagy makes him a little bit uneasy. What's the vibe that Zimmer has had about facing this Bears offense, going into Soldier Field? You know, I know you guys had the stat over there at the Star Tribune that the Vikings are 3-15 in their last 18 trips to Soldier Field, which quite honestly seems like unconscionable that that's even a stat given how bad the Bears have been and how good the Vikings have been over the last couple decades. But what sort of the vibe you're getting out of Zimmer over there?
Yeah, Zimmer's kind of talking against history this week. Mike was feeling himself at the podium, at least on Wednesday, where he was asked about, you know, Mike, your teams have struggled at Soldier Field. They're 2-3 under you. Dennis Green was the last Vikings coach to win back-to-back games in Chicago. It's been quite a while, and Zimmer just said something like, well, yeah, people told me that when I got here, but we've won some games, and hasn't Chicago lost their last two at home? And he's just kind of doing that, you know, underdog, us against the world, it doesn't matter kind of thing. But in reality, the Bears' offensive weapons definitely scare the Vikings. A healthy Allen Robinson is not an easy proposition. Rookie and David Montgomery paired with Tariq Cohen, two guys who can do similar things, is not easy to defend. They have respect for Trey Burton. They have respect for Taylor Gabriel and the wide receivers they've got. So I think it's more the ways that they can deploy their skill weapons and then the actual talent itself around Mitchell Trubisky does frighten them. And then weird stuff just happened.
We can bleep it.
Weird stuff happens all the time at Soldier Field. The clocks went out in 2014 when Teddy Bridgewater threw a game-losing interception at the very end when he thought there was only a second or two left, and he had 40 seconds left. I remember Sam Bradford going down and Case Keenum entering at halftime a couple years ago and leading them to a win, and then they went on eight straight wins after that and then went to an NFC title game. I remember Mike Zimmer scratching his cornea in 2016 and the loss there. It's just weird stuff always happens at Soldier Field, and the Vikings players just kind of shrug their shoulders and say, yeah, we're expecting another weird game on Sunday.
All right, before we get you out of here, Andrew, one last question, because this is a Bears podcast, and apparently all we can talk about in Chicago, no matter what happens, is a kicker. The Vikings traded for Corey Vedvik, didn't work out. Still going with Dan Bailey. How has the whole kicking situation in Minnesota played out? You know, the fallout from Vedvik. I know Bailey missed a field goal. I think it was in the Green Bay game. How has that whole all kind of played out over the last couple days here, or months here?
I feel like we've watched Mike Zimmer grow as not only a human being, but as a football coach through this whole kicking situation. I say that because he's actually been patient with Dan Bailey since they traded for Corey Vedvik. That wasn't a patient moment. Dan Bailey was missing kicks in training camp, not looking good. They were switching out long snappers, switching out holders. Dan Bailey, the veteran kicker, saying, hey, just get me one operation and I will work with it. Stop messing with all these parts. And what do? They traded for a fifth specialist and brought in another kicker in Bedvik. And then he imploded in preseason games while Dan made every single kick. And Mike Zimmer, around that time this August, said, hey, I just need to be more patient with this situation, clearly. And so when Dan Bailey missed the field goal in Green Bay, there was no hand-wringing. There was no, oh, we need to go get another kicker. They trotted them out there for the next field goal attempt. They didn't go for two on any of the touchdowns, and they trusted the kicker. And that is something you have not seen in Minnesota. I think Mike Zimmer likes Dan Bailey personally, which I think goes a long way professionally when he messes up. And so Mike Zimmer's actually got some patience with this. And I think, as Matt Nagy has talked about being patient through their entire process, I think it pays off sometimes.
All right, Andrew, where can the people read your stuff, listen to you, find you on social media?
Absolutely, yeah. Check out all of our stuff at startribune.com/sports, and you can follow me on Twitter at Andrew_Kramer. That's K-R-A-M-M-E-R. And then, of course, check out our Access Vikings podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or anywhere where you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for hopping on the pod, Andrew, and looking forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Of course, JJ. Sorry for cursing.
That's okay. We'll easily edit that out. All right, thanks for listening to this preview edition of the Under Center podcast. Also, if you're a football fan, you need to check out this new game, Sunday Night 7, on the NBC Sports Predictor app. There's no real reason to not play. It's totally free and has $2 million guaranteed in cash prizes this season, with $100,000 up for grabs every week. Just make 7 predictions about what will happen in Sunday Night Football for a chance to win some serious money. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app or head to nbcsports.com/predictor now to make your Sunday Night 7 picks. Also, if you're enjoying our Under Center podcast, drop us a line, give us a review. We liked hearing from a listener out in Rome this week who was trying to figure out where John Moon Mullen is staying at his villa in Tuscany. Keep giving us those 5-star reviews. We like seeing them. And remember, you can watch the Football After Show with Lawrence Holmes, Matt Forte, Lance Briggs, Olin Krutz, and Alex Brown immediately following Sunday's Bears-Vikings game. They will also have a fresh Under Center podcast for you, reacting to one of the biggest games of 2019 here in Chicago. Anyways, thank you for listening to this edition of the Under Center podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.